do. If we can use some more like me and you.
I've had, and there's songs that we sing and songs I've sung all my life, but every now and then there's a song that just you get a brain lock, and I laugh every time I do that song, because the first verse of that song I forget the melody, I forget the chord changes, I forget where to, and I laugh at myself because I know I'm going to get it, and I have, but it, that's what I was laughing at before. My wife's looking at me saying, I know I don't have it right yet. But eventually, I just want you to know that that happens in life. Amen? Things happen in life. But that to me is, it makes my heart happy to know that God is saying, you still need me, boy. You think you got it under control. Well, here's a song. Let me hear you sing it. So, and by the way, Marilyn is here today, brothers and sisters. Not only are we, do we miss you, we just missed you. And just beyond missing you, we missed you. So, are you feeling better today? And you're on the, you know, he said, you know, I talked to Chuck. Talked to him, talked to you. He's like, you know, he's worried. And he's like, you're all low. Everything's going to be fine. And that meant, you feeling better today? Amen. Enjoying life. What a wonderful day. That's a good song. I'm enjoying life. How many trust in Jesus this morning? You know, the world doesn't trust him yet. You know, there's folks still waiting. You know that his chosen are still waiting to trust him. Amen. How many know that? The chosen ones, the Israelites, the Jews, they were the ones that were chosen. Amen. And who were the first ones to reject him? The Israelites. So how can the world accept him when those that were chosen did not accept him? Amen. That's the beginning of the dilemma. Amen. But we know that there's victory at the end of that dilemma. Amen. Hallelujah. Mercy. 'Tis to trust in Jesus. Elder Pat, you know the words of that song. And his mercy and his love. What is mercy? God's mercy is forgiveness, compassion. On who? Who? You. Because of his compassion and his forgetful, his forgetting your sins, because of that, because of his love to you, his mercy to you, you are able to call on God. Amen. You're part of the family of God. Amen. You're in because of one person. Who's that person? Jesus. And you're in for one reason. What's the reason? Because you love Jesus. Did you do anything? No. Did you build anything? No. Did you have to give anything? No. He didn't want that, because then you think you have to earn your way. He gave it to you freely. Amen. His mercy. His mercy is why we're here today with the blessings and the promises, because of that. And if you start to see that and you believe it today more than ever, you might say, I already know that. But if you leave here saying, I want to know more of it, when you leave here, you're going to know more of God. You're going to have more of God. You're going to let more of God in you. Amen. Just simply because of his mercy. Let's stand up and pray together this morning, as we do each and every Sunday. Hallelujah. Second Congregational in Derby, Connecticut. And you pray for us, because I'm telling you, things come against us. You pray for us, because I'm believing for impossible in this church. I'm believing for God to touch this church in ways that everybody has to say, look what God is doing there. Hallelujah, for his glory. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. The word Septuagint, you wonder what that means. All it is it's Greek for 70. And it was 70 Jewish scholars came to Greece to translate the Bible from Hebrew into Greek. Because most of the Christians, most of the Jews were living in Greece at that time, and that was the dominant language of that time for about 300 years. And for the only way for the Jews to get the Bible in the way that they can understand it and the other people to understand it, they had to get these translators to come. And there were 70, some say 72, but they call it the Septuagint is what they did, and that's just the 70. But when you understand little things, and here's why I'm doing this with you, and I want to continue. When I first started playing the guitar, I know Greg went through the same thing. I'm looking at the chord charts. I my daddy used to say, well, this is in the key of C. And I say, how do I know what to play in the key of C? What chords? And then in the key of E and the key of G. And I said, well, Dad, how do I? And you said, well, you just know. And that wasn't good enough. My daddy was great, but that didn't. And Greg, you remember Mel Bay? There was a book. A man's name was Mel Bay. M-E-L-B-A-Y. And he had a book out. My daddy had it in his music store. And I picked up the book and I turned it over. On the back page of the book was the keys and the chords that kind of were with those keys. And even though I didn't quite even understand what 4 and 5 and 6 meant for a while, I saw that key of G, the first major chord was a C, the second one's a D. And I read, I mean, that opened up my eyes, and I said, I could, it helped me to play in any key, because I knew what they call the progression. But what I'm telling you is, it was one thing. That one thing opened up my eyes to playing the guitar more than any lessons. You could take lessons, and I've seen it. People take guitar lessons for 2 years and never know how to play anything except the last lesson. You're a teacher. You try to teach them to learn, you know, but they come and they don't practice, and they learn how to, so they've never learned anything. So when they get to playing with somebody else, if you don't play the song they learned, they can't play it. And this one thing, and I've been praying and praying to find one word, the word, to help you want more. So as I said, Marilyn and I did this, and of course, we missed you last week, so, and it's in your old bulletin, and they're out there, so please grab them, because I think you're going to find it very interesting, like the manuscripts, the original manuscripts of all the New Testament books, as far as we know, have been lost. Copies of these precious writings began to be made from the very first for other churches. They made them for other churches, and it talks about what they made them on, and it talks about how they made them and how they read them. Amen? And I think the more you understand the things in this book that you find confusing, the more you're going to want to read this book for your own comfort. Like I said, a lot of times, Sergio, if you can't sleep at night, if you start reading this with a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of understanding, all of a sudden you want to read more because it's all for you. This is your book. Don't judge the book by its cover. I love that. It's my favorite. But this is for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So thank you, Marilyn. We're going to do more of it. I didn't give you any this week because... Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, that'll be perfect. And then we'll start something new the week after. See, Marilyn, see, she's on. We're going to do it. Don't even, you're going to get it next week. But how many will read it for me? How many will just take the time to read it? I pray that you do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you do. Thank you, Jesus. How many want a promise today? Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is John. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Listen to this. This is John. This is in Revelation. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared, I love this, as a bride adorned for her husband. He's coming. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, you that promised, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be his people. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God, this is your promise. This is why you love him. And I hope it opens your heart up. And God will, say with me, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give up the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. Whose promise is that to? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Say that with me. Be strong and do not fear. Flo, be strong today. Do not fear. You're going to have a testimony next week. No, but God is going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it if you just believe for it. And then it takes away your stress today. Amen. Hallelujah. Be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, with a recompense of God. He will come and save you. He will do what? Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Hallelujah. Then the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. Hallelujah. In that habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and beautiful, a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. These are your promises. Your promise. This is why you love him now. This is why you want to feed off of his goodness now. This is why you want to do more for God now, because of those promises. And if he's promised you that tomorrow, what has he promised you for today? Amen. What goals, what can he give you today? The Bible says that your joy may be full. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. I'm just reading it. That your joy may be what? Full today. How many got problems today? Amen. How many got worries and cares today? We all have them because we live in this world. But God said, if you focus on me and not on those, your joys will be full. But you have to do that. Amen. You have to see it. You have to believe it. Because when you're going through it, all you see is the darkness. Amen. But when you come on the other side of things, and I'm telling you, each and every one of you have come out the other side of things. Amen. Things in your life. Maybe they weren't as bad as somebody else's, but they're your battles. Amen. And when they're your battles, that's when they're the worst. Amen. And God is saying all these beautiful promises. This is our promise. This is the God of the Bible's promise. How many know the words promises of the world? You hear all these other things, what they're going to get. Some is nirvana, and some is reincarnation. Amen. And some people are believing for 72 virgins. Amen. Some people are believing, and that's their promise from their God. But I'm telling you, the promise in this Bible is to who? You. Amen. From who? That's a promise that I want to hold on to. I want to see my dad again. I want to see my mother again. And the Bible says, I shall. Amen. He said, I will be reunited. Me and my household shall be saved. Saved for what? Saved for eternity with God, with Christ. Amen. With Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the testimony. That's the God that you need to understand. That's the God that sooner or later, Dale, sooner or later, all the people in all the world are either going to decide at the last second, do they want him or do they want the promises that man had given them? Do they want him or do they want the lies? Amen. That's the, everybody and every race and every nation has to understand that sooner or later, when all hope is gone, whatever is happening, they have to make a decision. And when they call on the name of Jesus, a light will shine on them, and their sorrow will be that they didn't know him before, but they will know him again. Amen. They will know him. That's the difference between our God of the Bible, and the world's gods. Amen. That's the difference. And if I say I think it's better, that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it, amen? But I'm praising him for every blessing, and I think you should do the same thing. Give him praise, church. Thank you, Lord. So as we know, Lord, mercy is from you. Mercy, compassion, forgiveness, to be in a place of acceptance, even though we fall short. That's our God. He says, I love you. I will pick you up. I will give you that mercy. There's no charge. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't give me $20 million. It doesn't matter. You give me your heart. You give me your heart, I will give you mercy. You give me a chance. You love me today, I will give you mercy. You draw closer to me, I will give you mercy. You lean on me, I will give you mercy. You do something wrong today and you get on your knees tonight and ask for forgiveness for your iniquities, I will give you mercy. I know that if you get down on your knees and ask me, that your heart is truly sorry. That your pain is that you let yourself down, you let God down, you show something besides God, and I know your pain, because you wouldn't come asking for mercy and forgiveness if you didn't believe you did something wrong. So he will forgive you, and it's his mercy. No man can take away that mercy. Can I get an amen? No man can take away that mercy. No man can take away your promises. Nobody. Nobody can give you those promises. I can't stand here, Jim, and give you any promises, but I can give you God's promises. And you go and reach for them. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let us search for those today. Let us be sure of those today. In Jesus' name, Lord, let us know, Lord. Let us see you in a different light today. Not through the light of a religion, not through the light of a nation, not through the light of anything except you and me. Let the light shine on me today, Lord, that I can draw closer. And let my friends see the light that's in me coming out of me. And they draw closer to me and that they find you. Oh, that my friends would find me, Lord, because there's love in this world. And there's people searching for love in this world. And people searching for compassion and forgiveness. Oh, that they find you. You, the God of the Bible. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah.
Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. If somebody you disagreed with all your heart, walked into this church right now and sat down, how would you treat them? If somebody came here that said things or you thought was totally against you, that you didn't believe anything that they stood for, how would you receive them if they came in and sat down in this church and wanted to share a day with you? Would you give them love? I know you would. Because last week I saw something, and I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about church and God. Somebody walk into a church and receive amazing grace, because I know you know that people in there did not believe what this person was going to say. They didn't believe in him. They didn't like him. They didn't trust him. But the pastor saw above him. The pastor saw God. He saw a chance. You know what? I'm going to bring this person in, and my flock is going to accept him, not because of me, but because of Jesus. And they're going to understand what amazing grace sounds like, Pat. And they're going to bring him in, and we're going to stand him right here, and I'm going to put a shawl around his shoulder. And I know it's going to bother some people, but you know what? I don't care. I'm not pleasing men. I'm pleasing God. Amen. And I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do this to show amazing grace. How sweet the sound to save the wretch's eye. Amen. And I saw that and I said, that's what we need, you see. Because everybody came together. There was no arguing. There was no fighting. There was no finger pointing. You know what there was? Was love. Did everybody believe it? Probably not. Should they have? Probably not. Because we all have to learn. Amen. But I'm telling you that was amazing grace. And I said, that's what this country needs, that's what this world needs. And I saw other people try to talk about it, and I kept telling my wife, I said, they got to be careful now. I know that they don't like this person. I get that, and they have the reasons, and I get that. But they have to be careful now, see? Because this pastor went above them. This pastor went to God. And anybody else who's a religious man who believes in religion, anybody who's a Catholic, whatever religion you are, you have to understand, they went to God. They went over them. Amen? So the people had to be careful, because what they saw was amazing grace. They saw forgiveness. They saw acceptance. Amen? They didn't see people all of a sudden say, No, they didn't see that. They just saw forgiveness and acceptance. Amen? And so they had to be very careful what they said this week about it. And it made my heart smile, because, see, you know who won that battle? God won that battle. Amen? Because if you really lift it up to God and you really show people God what is, he wins the battle every time. Amen? Because he brings peace. Amen? And he brings a unity that the world cannot understand. Amen? There were a lot of people upset about it, but they had to accept it. Amen? And I praise this. I lift this pastor up to God, because whatever his motives, and I don't know what his motives were either, except that he lifted him up to God. He gave him two Bibles. He gave him two. How many? Two Bibles to read. Well, now I pray that he reads them. Amen? But the pastor did his job. That's what this church needs to do. Amen? We need to get away from that and get into God and let God help us, lift us up. And I think that that's a testimony to our God. Amen? And testimony to people in churches who really want unity and peace. Rise above the hatred. Rise above the anger. When I said hello to that guy Friday, I'm telling you, I almost had tears in my eyes. We just like we were brothers. Wow, what a hot day. Oh, and we started talking about the weather and like it was summertime again, and smile on his face. And I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, because that's the answer. Hallelujah. Anybody know what it means to be chosen? It means to be picked. Right, Deacon Chuck? You're chosen. You're picked. Now, you see, if I chose you to take care of the whole city, you might say, boy, I don't want that responsibility. See, when you're chosen to do something great, then much is given, much is what required. Amen? So when the Jewish nation was chosen to be the ones, to be the chosen ones, what were they chosen to do? Anybody tell me? What were they chosen to do? Well, let me read it. For God is saying in Deuteronomy, for you are a holy people. Does anybody understand the word holy means just separated? You are separated from God, with God. You're separated. We're for separated people. Lord, you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Hallelujah. Therefore, say that with me. Therefore, and that's when he says therefore, you got to listen to the next part. Know that the Lord your God, he is God. Amen? The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. How does he keep it? With those who what? Love him. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, again, therefore, you who... And he's telling the chosen... Listen, he's telling them now. You shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I have commanded you today to observe them. So they were the chosen ones. Why were they chosen? The Bible never exactly says why they were. Why? But they were the chosen ones to do one thing. One thing. To tell people about God. Amen? To teach people about God. Now, these were the commandments. Now, you look at all these things and you understand that if you did these things, how wrong your life, how bad your life would be. Amen? We call sin a sin of something that will hurt you. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, is it a sin to go to the casino? I said, well, not really to go to the casino, but if you go there and lose all your money and you can't pay your bills, I guess that's pretty bad. I guess I'd call that a sin. Is it a sin to go? Of course not. Is it a sin to... Well, you understand what sin means? Anything that God says not to do, it's for you that he tells you not to do it. Amen? He tells you not to do something, it's because he wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be in comfort. He wants your joy to be full. Amen? He told the Jewish nation, you are chosen to teach the world about who? And to do it this way. Keep the commandment, the statutes, and judgments which I command you today to observe them. Did he tell them to make new rules? Did he tell them to add other things? Well, how they felt, well, you know what, this feels good. Let's add this one. Well, we'll tell people that they have to do this too. Well, they had to be circumcised to become Jewish in order to accept. We'll add that. We're going to add other things because now we're in control, see? We're the chosen one, so I guess we can add things to God. How do you think that works out? Praise God. And Lord, hallelujah. Anybody? Thank you, and Mark. Hallelujah. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, to Jesus, having come from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples, now the Pharisees and the scribes, understand, they were part of the Sanhedrin. Anybody know the Sanhedrin? It's very simple. It's a big word. It's all the Sanhedrin is. It's the Supreme Council and Tribunal of the Jews. The high priest as the head of jurisdiction of all religious things. Okay, this is the Sanhedrin. When you talk about that simply, all it is the Jewish leaders, amen? And the high priest being the leader. Not Catholic, please don't think that. This is Jewish. This is the mother church in Jerusalem, amen? The holy city, the Mount of Zion. David, the Mount of David. Okay. The Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to Jesus. Who'd they come to? He came from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the traditions of the elders. Holding the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers and copper vessels. Then the Pharisees, the who? And scribes asked Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? I just got through reading what God told the Jews to do, amen? What he told the nation to do, amen? The commandments, amen? The commandments, to teach about God. And here they are talking to the Son of God, asking him, why? Why? Do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders? Amen? But eat with unwashed hands. And he answered and said to them, here's Jesus' word, hallelujah. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written. And you know, the more you read the book, Elaine, the more you start reading Jesus, he gets right to the point. Sometimes you get angry at somebody, you wonder, are you trying to pull some punches or trying to be nice? You know, he, no, Jesus, I love it. He don't have time, amen? He didn't have time. And he says, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me, it is Corban. That is a gift from God. Whatever you receive from me, it's just a gift of God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and so many things you do. If the Jewish nation has a problem accepting Jesus, how does the rest of the world accept him? How do they look and say, well, if they're the chosen ones, and they, why should I? Amen? I'm going to end right here, and I'm going to continue next week, because it's so, I hate to say fun, but reading this and putting it together is so informative and just so explains and shows a lot of things. But I will tell you this. To all the nations of the world and all these religions, sooner or later, these people come to a place where there's nothing left. Everything is gone. Amen? Hallelujah. Everything is gone. Thank you, Lord. And it is when all is gone and it all is left is you, that you start to think about the promises that you were told by man. And you start to look and you start to wonder. And you start to say, there must be something else. There has to be something else. You say, how is God going to reach those people that are fighting and hating each other when they realize that there's nothing left in life, that nothing is to be gained? There's nothing left. Nothing won. They have won nothing. They received nothing. When they finally get to that point in their life, even those people who have said they hated this God will have to look up. And when they look up and they see the light shining down, it will bring those people to God. God is using these terror people and these evil people, and he's using people all over the world to show you how bad it can be. He's allowing it to be that way so your eyes can see evil, amen? But he's also making a way where people say, in any religion, in any form of religion, saying, I don't want that. There's something else for me, and that something else will be, it will be, say it with me, will be Jesus. That will be when they find it, and that will be when you see world and miracles happening. Give them praise, church. We'll talk more next week about that. Hallelujah. Let's sing our anthem, Miss Joanne, Miss Jean. There's so much more, and it's not even that I have written notes, Gary. It's just there's so much more in the Word I wanted to read. It's so exciting when you learn and when you find something that makes sense and you say, I want to know more. Hallelujah. Because the Jewish nation rejected him, guess who got grafted in? We did. Amen. And Paul will write that again. We're going to read in Romans where Paul said he was going to minister to the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. That's all that means. We're not Jewish. And the Jewish tradition was that before you accepted Jesus, even in the Bible or God, you had to become Jewish. And God, God removed any of that. Amen. You come to God one way, through faith. And how's that faith? Is love. That's how you come to God. God said, I reward those who come to me. You are saved by faith. Amen. Saved by loving him. That's how. You can't earn it. You can't make enough money to give to him. You can't do enough. You just have to love him. Amen. He will do the rest. We have to be a light that shines brighter. We have to show the world where to come. We have to show the world what wins, and we have to show the world victory. We have to show the word our God and let him do the work. We bring them here. We tell people about him. We tell our friends about him. Wherever you go, you tell your family. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry. People aren't going to come against you. They may walk away, but they heard you. And sooner or later, they're going to walk through that door. They're going to ask you another question about your God, about our Jesus, about our victory and our promises. Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
And all he asks from you is to do this in remembrance of him and his church. Thank you, Lord. You can do this in your home every day. Just say a little prayer before you have your lunch, your breakfast, whatever, however you choose. There's no law in how to love God. He gave his life to clear our sins for us. He took the blame. That blood will not go in vain. It will not. If you take Jesus into your heart, you are covered by the blood of Christ. When God the Father looks down from heaven, he sees you covered in the blood of Christ, and he knows that you're a child of God's.